So we want to talk today about something a little bit different, I guess, a little bit out of the ordinary. I was going to open with Chaucer, but I thought maybe that'd be too much. But you recently returned from a pilgrimage, correct? With how many people went?
There were close to 150 people in the group, many of them here from Nebraska. The pilgrimage was conceived originally by Spirit Catholic Radio, and they were the ones who invited me to participate in it. And it was fully advertised in our area, then it became known around the country, and so other people had the chance to sign up for it. So we had a big number from our area, but then also people from all across the United States. So we got to meet some new friends, and I would say that our pilgrimage group was very congenial. Everyone came more or less with the same idea, that they wanted to grow in their faith and already had an experience of the faith in some way that could be shared.
Well, so where did you go?
We were blessed to visit some historic pilgrimage places in southwestern Europe, and I was happy to go for a number of reasons, but particularly because I had never had the chance to visit any of these places before. So we began in Lourdes in southern France, and then traveled into Spain to Santiago de Compostela, and then from there on to Fatima in Portugal, and came home from Portugal.
Now that's we've been celebrating the centenary of the apparitions at Fatima, right? So was that was kind of the culmination, I would imagine, of the pilgrimage.
That's right. That was the end of our pilgrimage, but it was one of the reasons, I suppose, for planning that those destinations this year. A lot of people, I think, looked forward to being able to be in Fatima to celebrate at least part of the 100th anniversary year. There wasn't a particular celebration going on while we were there, but there were pilgrims from all over, and I think that's been the case all year long in Fatima.
I'd imagine. What was most striking at, you don't have to go through the entire itinerary, but if there was a few different places, maybe that anything surprising or that you didn't expect.
It was a privilege for me to be able to celebrate Mass in the places where Our Lady had appeared. The other pilgrims talked about what a privilege it was for them too to be able to have Mass in those places. You almost have to pinch yourself at some point as you think of where you are and not only what happened there once, but what continues to happen as a result of Mary's intercession and the prayerful coming, the prayerful experience of pilgrims really from all over the world over now many generations in both places. We also visited Santiago de Compostela, the shrine to St. James in Spain, which for many, many, many centuries has been a destination place for pilgrims on foot from all over Europe. Pilgrims were coming there long before the apparitions at either Lourdes or Fatima, so it's much more historic. It was also a very powerful experience to be able to celebrate Mass there and to have that be a part of our pilgrimage. We were not walking, as many pilgrims do, to Compostela, but some of the pilgrims walked a few miles into town to the Basilica where we celebrated Mass. But it was part of our journey and a beautiful experience to be there as well.
Is that the basilica with the giant censer? Did you get to see
it? Oh, we did. We celebrated Mass there, and I found out just a few minutes before Mass began that it had to be celebrated in Spanish. I was very grateful to our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters here in the Archdiocese who have helped me at least be able to celebrate Mass in Spanish. The Mass concluded with the offering of this giant incense burner, which swings from one side of the basilica to the other. It's very dramatic, but not showy. I would say it turned out to be a very devotional moment, even though it's somewhat spectacular in the telling.
Yeah, I'll have to include a link like to a YouTube video or something to show, give people a sense of the scale.
You have to look up how to spell it. It's called the Bota Fumero.
The boat of smoke, right, or something like that. Yeah, people go to Europe and to see beautiful places all the time for all sorts of different reasons, or just going out somewhere else in our own country. We do this all the time for vacation and to tour places to see them because they're interesting. But in what way does a pilgrimage differ from a vacation or something touristy?
A pilgrimage is different from a vacation, although they share some common experiences. We, on our pilgrimage, we had a very good time. We shared great fellowship. We had a lot of fun. Saw some interesting sights and scenery. Enjoyed nice meals together. The intention, however, of our going on this pilgrimage was really spiritual renewal. And that's the distinction. A pilgrimage is a beautiful reminder to us that our life is a pilgrimage and that we are on a lifelong journey to our Father's house. We get distracted by many things and by the busyness of every day. The opportunity to take some time out for a spiritual pilgrimage accomplishes a little bit the same, has a little bit the same effect that a retreat has. It enables us to begin to think again about the things that are most important and to recognize that the providence of God is guiding us on our pilgrim way through life. We had the blessing of celebrating the feasts of all saints and all souls, and those feast days, as much as anything, help remind us that we're in this great line of pilgrims. The Blessed Mother leads the procession, and the saints accompany her, and this procession has been continuing ever since the first generation of the church. All of us called by Jesus to be his disciples, directing our lives with the help of God's grace toward the goal of eternal life. On the Feast of All Saints, we happen to be in the town of Burgos in Spain. They have a beautiful cathedral there, a Gothic cathedral, and we celebrated Mass in one of the chapels. And it became a beautiful meditation on not only the Feast of All Saints, but also on the truth of our pilgrimage in this life. The congregation was facing a beautiful gilded altarpiece that in some ways was designed, I think, to provide a glimpse of heaven or kind of a preview of the glory of heaven. And certainly as they face the altar where we celebrate the Mass and have a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, it enabled them to be focused on the goal of life's pilgrimage, the eternal life of heaven. As the celebrant for the Mass, I was facing the other direction. And my view was of a huge stone baptismal font at the rear of the chapel, which, of course, is the origin of the pilgrimage.
The beginning.
It's the beginning of our life in Christ and the beginning of the journey, which ultimately leads to full life in our Father's house. That was, I think, a good reflection for all of us, and I pointed that out to our group later on. There's a wonderful photograph of St. John Paul II that I always think of in this context. After he was elected pope, he was able to return to Poland. There was some question about whether that would be possible because there was a communist government there still. They were able to arrange for him to go, and I can't remember if it was the first or the second of his trips back home. He went to the town where he had grown up, and he visited the parish church, and he wanted in particular to visit the place of his baptism. A photographer snapped what is, for me, a very moving picture of him praying at the font of his baptism. And it's a reminder that that's where it begins for all of us. Now, of course, he's been canonized a saint. The point, though, of celebrating All Saints Day, the point of thinking about our earthly pilgrimage, is that when we begin the pilgrimage at baptism, it's as if God is announcing his plan for us. He's announcing it to us, but announcing it really to the whole church. I plan for this young man, this young woman, to be a saint. And that is the invitation then to put our feet on the path that follows Jesus, that leads to eternal life. So if we don't interfere with God's plan, then that promise of God, that commitment of his bringing us, adopting us into his family, will come to fulfillment at the end of our earthly pilgrimage. The pilgrimages that we make in this world, so maybe we take a day to go visit a holy site or to have a day of recollection. Maybe we visit a church that we've never been to before, perhaps right here in the Archdiocese, just to have a little bit of a journey and to remind ourselves of the importance of being on the road and life's journey that leads to life. Whenever we have the opportunity to do that, we recall this plan of God that we'd be on a journey that ends up in our heavenly home.
That's very helpful because when I think about pilgrimage now, it has taken on more of that shape in my recollection and in my prayer to try to be aware of how he's present and calling me now and taking steps on this journey, especially when I'd love to take a pilgrimage overseas, having small children at home makes that a little bit less feasible. But it's helpful when, as you pointed out, that if it's beyond our means to go to, you know, to France or to Spain, that doesn't preclude us from having the same. The beauty is not inaccessible to us because we can't make it there. He makes it possible for us in all these different ways and means. So if you have the means to go and you can make that happen, go. But if you can't, you can still go. You can still go to visit our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You can still pray in the silence of your home. And I see that need as well in the day-to-day, in the pilgrimage of, you know, driving back and forth to work, on the daily commute. To carve out time for silence is so important. So anyway, thank you for that. That summarizes really well what's on offer to us all the time.
Not everybody has the means or the time to travel overseas. It's a great tradition in our faith to make a sacrifice, make an effort to do that. And often people that don't have great means will save over time, you know, so that a pilgrimage to the Holy Land or to Lourdes or Fatima might be possible. But still, it's not possible for everybody. So I really would encourage everybody in the Archdiocese to think about how they might organize a pilgrimage that is doable with your family, with a group of families, with a group of friends, to travel a little bit, at least, because the experience of going somewhere enriches the understanding of the pilgrimage. There's something, too, about traveling with others. It's certainly possible to do a pilgrimage on one's own, you know, just travel alone. I found, though, on this pilgrimage and have with others, that it is a little more like real life when we're in a group, and not always a group that we have chosen necessarily, or maybe we've sort of chosen in general, you know, invited a number of people. But it's a reminder that when God invites us to be his sons and daughters and makes that possible through baptism, we're incorporated into the body of Christ. We're not flying solo and or walking solo on life's pilgrimage. There are moments when we're able to be alone, and those are important moments, can be important moments of reflection and prayer. But most of the time, day by day, there are fellow pilgrims, and they're not always of our choosing. We interact with them and try to help others along the way, allow ourselves to be helped when we need it. And that's a dynamic that you see very beautifully when you're traveling with a group of pilgrims. Certainly over a number of days, that's very evident. At the same time, if one were to organize a small pilgrimage, or again, just a family going together for a day or even a half a day, there is a dynamic that takes place as there's time for prayer together and reflection, time to pray or go to Mass together, that enriches us in a way that is different from what happens when we're by ourselves.
A priest friend of mine once said that our Lord only really provided one way to quote-unquote intensify our prayer. He said if you wanted to multiply the effect of your prayer, Christ doesn't say, pray really hard or, you know, make your, you know, whip yourself and say these words. He obviously gives us the Our Father, but the way to intensify our prayer, he said, is to pray with others. That's one we can often skip over. Is it, well, if my spiritual life is lacking, I've just got to, you know, muscle it up and do better. But the opportunity to travel with people is given to us all the time. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, so we can grow in holiness, not necessarily by trying harder, but by trying something different. A pilgrimage is a little bit different experience. Some of my happiest memories of this recent pilgrimage are of the times that we prayed together. So we were in Fatima walking to the place where the three young children had an apparition of an angel. They had a vision of angel several times before the Blessed Mother appeared to them, a kind of a preparation for that appearance. But we had to walk some distance, and so we were praying the rosary along the way. There's something about walking in a group, praying together. And we weren't exactly sure what we would find when we got to the place that we were going, and so there's some anticipation in that. But I think you're right. It does intensify the experience of prayer when we can do it with others. And we know that we may all be at a little different spot on our own journey of faith through life. We come with our own intentions and with our joys and with our sorrows, and all that comes together in our prayer. It's a blessing that we can't calculate exactly, but it's experienced in the midst of that group of faith-filled people on a little journey.
As we incorporate what you said earlier about inviting everybody to take the opportunity, if they can make one, to make a local pilgrimage or go away somewhere with people and pray, is there any maybe final admonition or prayer you'd want to offer for something that struck you as a prayer of asking the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima? Or
one of the insights that kept coming to me, in part, it had something to do with the gospel readings that were the readings of the day as we were going along. It was the invitation to make ourselves small. And as you think about it, the apparition of Mary to Bernadette, and then the apparition of Mary later on, some half a century later or so, to the three young children at Fatima. That was a gift that was given to young people who were illiterate, and certainly in the case of Bernadette, very, very poor. It is a reminder to us that in our own poverty, we are able very often to experience a great revelation of God's grace or of God's favor. That was certainly the experience there, where the recognition of Mary being so close to them was a favor. They weren't old enough to have earned it or merited it, even if that were possible for anybody, which it isn't. But it's just so clear that those special moments when God's favor can be revealed to us, they can come in moments of being small and recognizing our poverty. One of the characteristics of a pilgrimage is you're in an experience that's really not in your own control, particularly if we travel far from home. Somebody else is making the arrangements, and you're trusting in somebody who's guiding you to get from one place to the next. And so there's a kind of poverty there, not a material poverty, but a sense of just being disposed, not being in control. And then as a result, there's a receptivity to what God will offer.
Yeah, so that we can all make our prayers help us to be aware of our stature as your children who are pilgrims on a journey that is beautiful, fraught with difficulty, but that leads somewhere beautiful, ultimately. Appreciate the conversation, and I'm glad that you're able to accompany that group and to see what you saw and to bring it back to us, because it was helpful to be able to see what you saw, and it's very clear how this parallels what we live on and strive to live on a day-to-day basis.
And the pilgrimage was a blessing for me, and I'm grateful to have been invited.
Thank you, Archbishop.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast.